This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, September 23rd, 2009. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, Nothing If Not a Fan. Frank O'Hara once quipped that poetry should be at least as interesting as the movies. Robert Polito seems to have taken this to heart. Polito is a poet who is as interested in movies as he is in literature. He is especially fond of film noir, and he's the author of a forthcoming book on filmmakers called Detours, Seven Noir Lives. His poetry can also be noirish, with menacing tones and seedy details of lives gone awry. His latest book of poems is called Hollywood and God, and let's get right into it with a poem called Confidential.
The title of this poem comes from the Hollywood Gossip magazine in the 1950s, Hollywood Confidential. And that's kind of what I'm playing off of. But I'm also interested in the notion of ostensibly confessing something in public at the same time that you're also asserting that it's confidential.
Which is exactly what people on Oprah and The View often do, as do poets. Think of those lines from Walt Whitman, America's first and greatest self-created celebrity poet.
This hour, I tell things in confidence. I might not tell everybody, but I will tell you.
Whitman also famously said,
I am large. I contain multitudes.
And so does the speaker in Robert Polito's poem, A Multitude of Celebrities. The poem begins like a voiceover for a film noir, saying something nefarious about a mysterious woman. Then, at the Formosa, a Hollywood bar, someone starts telling their story. But it's impossible to pin down who this person is, a man, a woman. The narrative is fragmented. The speaker is a mess, and we, the readers and listeners, are asked to try to put this Humpty Dumpty of a poem back together again. Here's Robert Polito reading Confidential.
She wears the Sacred Heart on her sleeve, for Christ's sake. Who would have pegged her as a blackmailer? There is a photograph I used to live inside. Many have taken it one time or another. By the end, she would only step out with her cute boy reporters, the ones who wrote she was pretty, sad, and misunderstood. Love came over us, everyone said, like destiny. To give it up would be like giving up God. But listen, this is confidential. We are at the Formosa. It is no year I can think of, but in rapid succession. I'm Frank Sinatra, Barbara Stanwyck, Gloria Graham, Orson Welles. You'd think this would be fun. They're all cool, right? Plus all the sex, the love even, the yearning in those faces yearning towards me. But it's not. And not just because I have no control over who I become. Orson, Barbara, Gloria, Frank. Would it matter? But instead, I'm always too old or too young. Someone's just walked out on me, or I've just left him or her. I'm not discovered yet, or no one wants me except for who I used to be. I'm too drunk or too fat or too crazy. I'm in someone's office, unzipping his fly. I'm shouting, "Don't you know who I am?" And that's the problem. I always do. I know exactly who I am.
Now, you said that poetry is a lot like the movies, technically. How is this poem like a movie?
What I was trying to suggest here was speed and quickness and the, you know,
sudden shifts of perspective.
Yes, sudden shifts of perspective and tone. And
that you can't do in prose as easily.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
you can, but it becomes poetic prose.
Exactly. Yeah.
So movies can do that. Movies can shift around perspective very, very quickly. But it's very clear that whoever it is extremely uncomfortable with their identity.
Exactly.
In
exactly.
one way or another.
Yeah.
And goes to extreme lengths. You know, I'm too drunk, too fat, or too crazy. I'm in someone's office unzipping his fly. It suggests a kind of debauchery and seediness.
Yeah, a debauchery and a seediness, and also a kind of identity fragmentation out of control. It's hard to imagine that that's just one person talking about himself or herself, I think. But then also, it's in part about, you know, a dream of identification with Frank Sinatra or Orson Welles, Gloria Graham. And it's also about the notion of what does it mean for somebody who's so slippery or elusive or fragmented to be confiding anything at all.
Right, because who are you to be confiding
anything? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We spoke a few months ago about the poet Kenneth Fearing, who was a poet in the 30s and really got into media culture as influencing the poetic eye.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And that seems to have had a huge influence on you.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, I always admired the way that he was able to work in kind of topical, mediated references into his poems. And I think probably the poem that's most influenced by him, I think, would be the Paris Hilton Calls on Jesus, which was very much an effort to be kind of topical and caustic in a way that I associate with, you know, fearing similar critiques of advertising and radio performers of the 1930s.
Would you read that poem, actually?
Sure.
Paris Hilton Calls on Jesus. And just out of curiosity, the very top of the poem, some of it's in italics. So I don't have it right in front of me, but is it something that is based on something she said?
No. I mean, it's in a way, it's basically a send-up of kind of celebrity religion, you know, and it's as much about her as it is about Madonna and a thousand other kind of, you know, Hollywood figures who give interviews about reading the Kabbalah and reading the Bible and how they have utterly transformed their lives.
Yeah. Go ahead and give it a read.
Paris Hilton Calls on Jesus. My God makes me feel good. There is a grandeur and purity in all I see. A grandeur and purity around and in me. Now that I'm grown up, back to Jesus is like back to the cool bars. I used to love popping E and dancing all night in clubs with the boy I married and divorced. At a party, you can always count on him to chat up the skankiest girl in the room. Not me, of course. Not that I'm better than anyone else. You have to be humble. I'll go skinny dipping with you, pal, but I won't sleep with you, if you know what I mean. Ecstasy makes you feel so close, but we weren't close. You could almost blame my whole marriage on E. I can only meditate when I wear earmuffs, the kind you'd find at a gun range. Now, when I pray that way, it's like I'm firing back at the world.
Now, the way to hear that poem is not necessarily as Paris Hilton talking. It's an anonymous speaker kind of filtering what exactly?
Well, I mean, just kind of channeling the mix of transcendence and celebrity culture that I think I was trying to explore in the book Hollywood and God. I mean, that's kind of how I see and hear the title of the book as a whole. I mean, it's first of all for me the kind of intersection of two streets. You know, there's Hollywood and Vine, there's Hollywood and Gower, and then a few blocks away is Hollywood and God. But it seems to me that what I was really interested in tracking, and I think it's something that actually goes back to, you know, the earliest instances of religion in America through the, you know, the Great Awakening of the 19th century and certainly into our contemporary culture of, you know, this genuine search for transcendence and the deflection of that impulse into a desire for fame. And it's a powerful American impulse that I wasn't interested at all in just simply being satirical about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's an impulse that you have to honor, no matter how it gets distorted or perverted even.
Yeah, I've often been puzzled by the energy that's spent by a lot of people following celebrities and the whole celebrity sort of cultural industrial complex that's out there. And so you see it as having religious roots and a desire for something transcendent from something from people's everyday lives.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not immune to it either. I mean, all my life, I've kind of been nothing if not a fan, you know, whether it's the Kinks or Roxy Music or Bob Dylan, Elvis Costello. I mean, you know, I love singers. I love songwriters. Fan, fanatic, worshiper.
Yeah,
you know, it's a continuum of experience that is, I think, absolutely essential to who we are, particularly now.
Robert Polito, thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Curtis.
You can find out more about Robert Polito on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also find thousands of poems, hundreds of podcasts, and dozens of videos. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.